You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to our show today, LA Talk Radio, Your Ultimate Life, Your Ultimate Life. Today, we're going to talk, you know, today is Election Day in the United States. Now, I live in Canada, and you know that if you've listened to many of these shows. But my wife and I both have citizenship in Canada and the U.S., so we are very interested in watching, you know, what's going on down there with the U.S. folks today, because today's Election Day. Ooh. You know what's funny about that? Here in Canada, we have federal elections, too, and there was some noise about getting Trudeau out of power and having a no-confidence vote and so forth, having a new, you know, election and all that. And the funny part about Canadian elections is like that 60 days, like they call an election, they do some campaigning, yard signs go up, this and that, and then they have the election and it doesn't take 2 years. There's a real toll. I don't know. It feels like from up here. And again, I'm not down there, but Joy and I lived in Phoenix. Joy, my angel that I am married to. But anyway, when we lived in Phoenix from 8 to 16, like there were three elections. We left just before the 16. Just before the 16 election. But anyway, it's just such noise. A year and a half, almost 2 years of run up. Like the minute the midterms are over, then we start with the noise already and possible candidates, and then 18 months. It's too hard. It's too long. And, you know, when I heard the other day that there was $1 billion spent, a few more on one side than the other, that was just amazing. $2 billion spent yelling at people from the television and radio, trying to tell them how to vote, and a ton of it demonizing the other side, whatever. I just find that atrocious, the whole process. And Canada has a way better process. And I, you know, citizens of both. So that's just my opinion. But anyway, that's not our topic today. I'm not going to have a political rant and I'm not going to take sides, even though I've already voted and I have done that based on my own thoughts and what makes sense to me. What I do want to talk about is the idea of choice and personal responsibility, because today is a choice, a big one. So here's the first truth. If you don't make a choice, you cannot complain. Or if you do complain and you haven't made a choice, it doesn't count. You can complain all you want, but you didn't make a choice, so your voice doesn't matter. So the first thing is intentionally make a choice. There's a lot of value in making a choice. Now, again, I'm not just talking about this election, although this is a good day to talk about it. But in making a choice, you have to decide. That means you have to weigh alternatives. The word decide means to cut off, the Latin roots and all that stuff. You probably know that. And it means that you have considered and cut off other choices. You've cut them off. And so you have made your choice. That forces us to go through whatever alternatives there are, whatever considerations there are. When I was in senior leadership positions in the C-suite in one of several companies, and I can't remember which one, I went through a decision-making process that was taught. It was a formal decision-making process, and there were lots of ways to do it, but I'm going to give you just a couple of ideas that might be useful, not just for decisions like voting, but for decisions in your own life, business building, what you're willing to put up with or not put up with in relationships or from your own behavior. Number one is make a list of non-negotiables. Non-negotiables. Now, when we're looking for a new house, we sometimes have a big long wish list of things. I want the size, as many square feet, this many rooms, you know, vaulted ceilings, this, that, and the other. And then when we look at houses, we sort of automatically, you know, we'll settle for this, that, and the other. It's not very useful. Start with a list of non-negotiables, like it must have. So, for example, let's say someone you have is in a wheelchair. Well, you must have, you know, access for that, or that doesn't make any sense. right? So creating non-negotiables. Now, as you're doing voting, there are clear differences in this particular case between the parties and candidates. And so if one of the things for you is just absolutely non-negotiable, then you're voting, your vote's done. Your vote's done. You've decided already. And so you have to look at things that are non-negotiable. That's one thing it's, I found, really simplifying in making choices. But anyway, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about how to make choices and the liberation of actually choosing and taking personal responsibility. Now, this show is called Your Ultimate Life. It's about creating a life, your life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And by doing it, by taking control of your own life and creating it with your own effort and with your own hands. One of the things that's been a favorite theme of a lot of the ads, in this case, the political ads, is the finger pointing at the other candidate and other party and saying, if they win, the universe is going to explode. The sky is going to fall for, you know, all the reasons that are listed in both camps. And that's not true. The sky is not going to fall. I don't care who gets elected. The sun's going to come up tomorrow. And, you know, you might have to deal with some uncomfortable policy choices and some uncomfortable consequences of those policy choices. But the government isn't going to fall. Democracy in the United States isn't going to fail, no matter who gets elected. And yeah, there's going to be some things happen that you don't like if you voted for the other candidate. But that doesn't matter. The thing that is that I want to talk about is that sort of blaming this. The Joy and I call it cliffing it. Like sometimes we treat decisions and thoughts like it's literally jumping off a cliff. Well, it's not. It's a favorite fear tactic. Internet marketers use that too. FOMO, fear of missing out. They act like your life will never be the same if you don't buy this thing or vote for this candidate. Yeah, there's going to be some uncomfortable things, but it's not the end of the world. So that kind of argument, whether you're buying a car or you're voting, is just nonsense. And it doesn't help in making decisions. And it also doesn't help dealing with the consequence if your solution doesn't turn out to be the one they pick. So let's say you're making a decision at work about which way to go on a particular project. And if people are saying, you know, the project's going to explode if we don't do this, then if the other decision gets made, there's non-cooperation, there's arguments, there's fights. And that looks like what it's set, you know, shaping up to be in the U.S. You know, we're going to spend 6 months, a year, maybe the whole term arguing about why the world is ending, the sky is falling because the other person got elected. Nonsense. Nonsense. No matter who wins, this is our opportunity to take personal responsibility about how to create our lives anyway. The first thing to do is to recognize that you and I, we don't control what anyone else does. We don't control it by yelling at them, by shaming them, by calling them names. We don't control that. And even if we shame or force someone into any kind of decision, there's a ton of resentment and negativity. A person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. And often, in fact, most of the time, there's all kinds of subversive activity, slow walking, negative stuff that happens as a consequence. Much better to just take the situation as it is and ask a simple question. Given what is, what do I wish to create? Given what is, whoever wins, in whatever, Senate, House, you know, local elections, presidency, whatever it is, whoever wins, what do I wish to create? Well, we're all benefited if the answer to that on either side is a harmonious relationship, working together the best we can going forward, recognizing nobody got all they wanted, nobody. And instead of creating a path of mutually assured destruction where nothing gets done and all kinds of noise gets made, why don't we move forward and take ownership of the opportunity? Okay. I voted, you voted, great. And whoever's going to win in the state federal election. And then our opportunity is to love and serve anyway. Anything less than that is not creating your ultimate life. It's going to be a life of blame, recrimination, negativity, name-calling, and all the rest, and nitpicking for the next X years. How sad. Aren't we better than that? Aren't we more capable than that? So let's talk about, I'm going to maybe be done a little bit talking about the political piece, but that's a good setup. I want to talk about a powerful decision you can make, one that I made. There was a time when I lived a life that had a lot of addictions and substance abuse in it. It was really damaging to me, and I knew that there were problems, but I kept making excuses. Finally, one day, I decided I was going to change. I didn't know how. I didn't know how I was going to get along without my crutches, but I made a choice to do that, and I made the choice irrevocable. It was painful. There were struggles. There was a lot of withdrawal, physical, mental, emotional, et cetera, et cetera. But the choice was irrevocable because I said so. Then I asked that fatal question or beautiful question. Given what is the choice to quit and be sober and the reality of the painful, circumstances and withdrawals and physical and emotional and spiritual consequences, given all that, what do I wish to create? Well, that answer made all the difference. So I said, I want to create a life free of substances. I want to create a life where I love my life. I'm not embarrassed. I don't have to hide things. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to lie. That's the life I'm creating. And when I put all my decisions through that filter, two things happened. One, I was relieved of this enormous burden of trying to, pretend. And two, every decision became easy because when I put it through the filter of I'm going to tell the truth, I'm going to be clean and sober no matter how much it hurts, I'm going to do the best I can to build a powerful life and message as I recover and grow and share with the world and all that kind of stuff, everything went through that filter. Every book I wrote, every coach I hired, every client I've hired or has hired me as a coach, going through that filter has given me the opportunity to take ownership. When others make decisions, your partner decides to cheat on you or your business partner rips you off, it hurts. I'm not going to pretend that it doesn't. And there, depending on what it is and so forth, maybe there's some legal things that need to happen, a divorce or a lawsuit or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is who is the person? What is the energetic attitude, the stance that we take as those things move forward? I've been married, divorced three times before I met the angel I'm married to now for 17 and a half years. The bitterness and name calling and recrimination of that divorce process ruined stuff. It ruined further relationship. It made negativity that goes on to this day. It poisoned children and it had all kinds of negative consequences because as a person, I showed up in a negative way. That didn't have to happen. Same with this political stuff. Whoever wins, if I get furious that the wrong person won and I then say I'm going to be mad for 4 years or whatever it is, then I'm going to create that same negativity that lasts forever. Or for years. If, on the other hand, I say, you know what, this divorce or this election didn't go like I wanted, or this business partner betrayed me, but I'm going to be honorable, I'm going to be loving, I'm going to show up as the person that I'm proud of, just because I can, not because they deserve it. It's got nothing to do with that. I'm going to be part of a working together solution, even as we dissolve the partnership or deal with, a government structure that we don't like or the elected officials. So this is the power of change. Here's what happens. When I choose to be angry about whatever outcome, I have given my power of creation away. I have chosen to let other people's actions and attitudes control my life. From personal experience, I can tell you that's not the ultimate life. That's a life of prison, internally, emotionally. It's a life of anger. It's a life of bitter emotion. It's a life of lack of creativity, lack of joy. It's the opposite, all the opposite. Purpose, prosperity, and joy. You can have that. I don't care who wins your election. Who cares? I really mean that. I can create, and so can you, purpose for your life, prosperity, which includes all the cash you need, and a joyful life, no matter who is doing what. That is possible. But owning it depends on you. So let's talk about the power that you really have in choice and taking personal responsibility. First of all, we each, you and me both, we need to own the fact that my choices are my responsibility. That is my choice of language, how I language my feelings, how I accept or reject others' opinions. If I remain furious at your opinions or you at mine, we can't create harmonious communication. I was working with a couple of clients the other day. And I've got two or three of these situations where some business partners are at odds with each other, furiously in some cases, mildly in others. And it's completely unnecessary. They can disagree about policy and talk about it and then make a decision according to the decision-making process in the company. And then both can agree, we're just going to move forward, the decision's made. Or they can remain bitter, angry, frustrated, pointing fingers, you know. And you know which one works best. The negative one affects the profits of the company. The negative one affects acid indigestion, headaches, physical things, illness. It affects all that. It affects relationships if you're married or if you have kids. And it affects the national psyche. If half the country votes for one and the other gets elected and they remain mad, great. How much unity and forward progress are we going to make? It's going to be a sewer. Why would we want to live in that when we have power in our own hands to make a choice to be loving, kind, and cooperative? We can do that. And it applies not just to politics. Today's a good day for that. But for every choice in your life, you and you alone have the responsibility for how you feel, how you speak, how you show up, and how you create the circumstances in your life. Any conversation about how you feel or responsibility that starts with they should, those is arguing with reality, and you're really stating things that you can't change. So again, you're handing your power away, which is the opposite of creating your ultimate life. Creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy depends 100% on you and me maintaining control of the things we control. I control my thoughts. I control my actions. I control what I build. I control how I feel as I build it. I control how I speak to whoever I'm talking to. I control my energy and my attitude. So owning that responsibility is the key to self-mastery, and it's also the key to freedom. As long as I say something like, you made me mad, they made me mad, those stupid people did this or that or voted this way or that way, as long as I believe that and live in that myth, I have handed you power to make me miserable, or you have handed me power to make you miserable, and that's not the truth. The truth is we own our feelings, and when we take control of those, we have power to create happiness no matter what happens. Think of it. Why would we give that away? So let's talk about choices. Like right now is election day, but that's just one choice. I don't know how many thousand decisions we make a day, but there are thousands. Now, research says we have about 70,000 thoughts a day. I don't think we have quite that many decisions, but there are thousands of decisions. There's no doubt that each of those decisions shapes our day, shapes our path. So this shirt I have on is red and it's white and blue. Gee, red, white, and blue. And I had a black sweatshirt on. I was on a podcast yesterday where the background I was using, instead of being a green forest, was a studio background. And it had white and black and red and some other colors that really matched well, not this shirt, but another shirt I had that had similar colors. Now, that was a choice I made. I didn't intentionally make that, but the podcast guest that I had noticed that and said something about it. So that's a silly example, but that choice elicited a response. Every choice we make, conscious or unconscious, shapes our day. Now, many of the choices we make are small and not consequential, but you know what? You and I, we decide which choices mean something. So if someone says something, forget the saying, it's driving. You're driving down the road and someone doesn't see you or doesn't signal and they cut you off or cause you to react in some way, you know, slow down or swerve or whatever. At that moment, you have a choice. Your choice is to get angry and think that they're stupid and bad and then call them names, flip them off and do that sort of thing. That choice has a bunch of consequences. It creates neurotransmitters in your body, adrenaline, cortisol, and a bunch of negative things that last for hours. You get upset and so forth. That's a choice. Another choice could be, wow, I'm glad that wasn't any closer. I hope they're okay. I hope they're not going to the hospital because the loved one's dying. And recognize that the truth is, I have no idea why they did that. Maybe they just honestly didn't see me and it was completely innocent. But I choose not to get excited about it. Now, if it was a really close call and, you know, a little fright comes up, that could be quickly dissipated by not multiplying it by the anger, multiplying it by the blame. And a stark choice like we have right now with these elections brings this clearly into focus. People are going to choose what they choose with their money, with their vote, with their attitude, with their driving, or everything else. If you want to be happy, purpose, prosperity, and joy, own your feelings. Own them. They're yours. Nobody can make you mad. Nobody can make you disappointed. Nobody can make me that either. I have to choose to interpret a situation in such a way that I get angry, frustrated, disappointed, and so forth. And then I have to live with the consequences. Now, you might know someone who has the road rage thing. Someone gets all wound up. They chase somebody down on the freeway and an altercation ensues. In some terrible cases, a life is lost. All because somebody chose to get angry instead of to just let it go. So now that we've made that point abundantly and perhaps gruesomely clear, let's talk about how to do something about that. Because if you're in the habit, or if I am, of simply reacting to things that go on around us, this is new. This whole process I'm talking about your own choices, you know, and taking responsibility of your choices, that might seem strange and even impossible. So I'm going to give you a tool right now to start the self-mastery of this. And it's so simple, you're going to laugh. The tool to begin self-mastery of your choices is three words: notice and choose. Notice and choose. Let me tell you what I mean. Somebody, we use the driving thing, or maybe someone at work says something rude or whatever. When we live reactively, we see a thing, a driving error or something that someone didn't see, or somebody stole your lunch out of the fridge at work. I don't know. Whatever it is, we see it, and then we react. We blame them. We assume someone intentionally did this thing wrong, and then we think they should be punished. And that kind of combination causes anger. I get a friend and also client who wrote a book called The Anger Cure. I absolutely highly recommend it. It's by Dr. Mort Orman, The Anger Cure. And he talks about all the things that have to go on for us to create anger and how it's easy to not have any anger. Get rid of it all. And you'll be amazed. So get that book. But anyway, notice and choose means this. Take the opportunity anytime you're feeling a strong emotion to notice, wow, I'm feeling, and speak it. Don't just react from it, because those emotions, they happen, especially when the triggers are subconscious. So in a relationship, for example, a husband or wife, their partners, one speaks a certain way, and that always leads to escalation and harsh words. So the minute a person says, well, in a certain tone, the other partner automatically feels apprehensive or angry or frustrated, because in the past, that has always led there or seems to. An animal is a perfect example. If you hit a dog several times, then you raise your hand, the dog's going to crouch. So a conditioned response. Here's how you get over those. Simply first notice. You may do the automatic reaction. So someone says, well, and because of conditioning, you think, okay, here it comes, right? That's fine. Instead of staying there, get in the habit of just saying, to notice, wow, I am feeling anxious. I'm afraid the shit's going to hit the fan, and here's what's coming next. Notice that. And then make a choice, a conscious choice. I don't actually know that that's coming, number one. And number two, I'm going to take control of my actions and feelings to avoid this. So if you hear a sentence or a tone that would previously automatically you would react that it would make you afraid or apprehensive or withdraw or whatever, if you're in a relationship, or make you angry, notice and then choose. I'm not going to do that. Are you upset? And then respond differently. So this is the choose. Notice, I'm feeling this. I'm going to choose something different. Hey, are you upset? And just ask it. Are you mad again? Not like that, but notice and choose. Notice and choose. That phrase will change your world, everything about your world. It'll actually change the amount of money you have in your bank account. I'll give you an example of that in a minute. Notice and choose. Memorize it. Write it down. Write it on the walls of your heart. Write it on the mirror. It is a practice of simply being aware of what you're feeling, calling. I'm feeling frustrated. I'm scared. I'm angry. And then make a choice consciously about what to do with that, instead of having that whole process be under the radar. I'll tell you what happens. What happens is, because you notice and choose, your awareness backs up in time. And so the third or the fourth or the fifth time, you start noticing things sooner and sooner. And pretty soon you realize you're doing the noticing before you have the emotion. Gee, this setup is on the way to have that emotion. And you can make choices earlier and earlier. It is so powerful. I can't tell you how powerful just that simple thing is. Notice and choose. It solves a million problems. So building that awareness of when you're feeling it first, and then make a conscious choice, and then gradually the habit of noticing backs up in time to the instant you feel it, and then the instant before you feel it. And then pretty soon you can see and feel the setup of a situation. And that gives you so much power and control in taking personal responsibility and creating your ultimate life. Now we're going to talk about a completely separate way to take responsibility. And that is, notice and choose is still going to apply here. But we're talking about, notice the tendency to be a victim, to live in victimhood. Victimhood is the stance of where we blame others for our circumstances. Now, I'm not talking about if some bad person walks up and smacks you in the nose. Okay, that actually happened to me in high schools. I think I was in the 10th grade, and I was not very popular. I wore big black rim glasses, and I was the nerd, right? And I got picked on a lot, and I was physically backward and a late bloomer. And so I was, you know the person. I was that guy, right? So somebody made a dare, a bet, with another student, another boy in my grade, and in the locker room one day, and I didn't know anything about it. So we're in the locker room, and this kid that I knew, he lived around the corner from me in my neighborhood, he just walked up and punched me in the face hard. And I thought, what was that about? And then just walked away. And I didn't find out until years later, years and years later, that that had been a dare. Okay, somebody dared him, but he wouldn't do that. And so he did. He walked up and smacked me in the face. So That is an actual victim. I was a victim of a physical assault. Okay, and I have nothing I did. It wasn't anything. It was a dare and just something that high school boys might do. Boom, got smacked. Most of the victim things that we have aren't like that. We have the opportunity to make a choice about being a victim. Now, I didn't have much of a choice there. I was getting in the locker room, getting ready to go to PE class, and boom. I did have a choice after it happened. I could have yelled and screamed and made a, you know, tantrum and done a bunch of stuff. I chose to do something else. I chose to just not do anything and go on with my day. That might have been partly because I was already an outcast and I didn't think making a scene would do any good. I don't really remember all the things that went into the choice. But my talking here about victimhood is like, if my candidate doesn't win the election, I can spend the next years being a victim of that awful bunch of people that voted the wrong way. I can be a victim of whatever policies they enact that I hate. And I can complain bitterly about my life is ruined and the sky has fallen because this or that is now happening. That kind of victimhood is bullshit, and I'm calling it out now and inviting you to notice if you're playing the victim anywhere, because externalities happen and we get to choose every time how we react. So this is notice and choose. This thing happened. I get to choose how to react. When I run to the victim corner, that becomes a habit. Bad luck always happens to me. I always this, it always that. If you hear yourself with that kind of language, it's an opportunity to notice and choose. Gee, I'm sounding like a victim a lot. I wonder how that's serving me. How is that letting me create my ultimate life? I've never been able to create that life of purpose, prosperity, and joy from a place of feeling like a victim all the time. Even when things happen that are completely outside my control, I get punched in the nose. There's a phrase that you've already heard, and that is, you know, the idea that life happens for us instead of to us, right? Or another way to think about it is instead of life happens to us, it happens through us. In other words, through the choices that I make, I create the outcome. I really do. And so do you. So that noticing and choosing is powerful there. A strategy to break it. Let's say you're used to running to the victim corner. Again, notice and choose. You know what? I'm pretending to be helpless. I'm living in learned helplessness. And you may really feel helpless at that moment. But 99% of the time, you're not actually helpless. There's something you can do to begin, even the first tiny step to change your situation. And if I'm unwilling to do that, or you are, then what we're saying is, yeah, I like playing the victim. But what I can promise you is the victim spot in the drama triangle, I'm not going to talk about that today, but you probably know what it is. The victim spot in the drama triangle will never lead you to happiness. It'll never lead you to ownership of your life. It'll never lead you to a place of love and service from which to create your ultimate life. So notice and choose. And if you've got that habit, that's okay. Make a new one. Make a new one. And it starts with notice and choose. Now, there's an extension of this, and that's the next thought. And that is the power of choice when bad things happen. So we just had these hurricanes smack into the Southeast U.S. And there was a lot of complaining, at least in the first one, that the federal government didn't do some of the things that they should have done. And then there was argument that they did and so forth. I'm not going to talk about that right now. What I'm going to talk about is the opportunity that each person who's affected by adversity, whether it's a flat tire, which is a tiny thing, or a hurricane that flooded your house, you get to choose how you face that adversity. And I am not pretending to say, don't be sad, don't feel deep loss, don't wonder what happened, how am I going to possibly start over? All of those things are just so normal. Okay, how are you going to start over? Here's two possible answers. I'm screwed. I'll never be able to start over. My life is ruined. And then we operate from that point. Another way is, wow, this completely devastated me. I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but I'm going to rebuild. I'm going to figure it out. That simple attitude shift alone creates power. It also draws opportunity. Now, I'm going to be a little woo-woo here for a minute. When we have higher emotions, further up the emotional ladder, the vibrations of those emotions are measurably and scientifically more powerful. They travel further. They are more powerfully attractive. So when I live in positive expectation, I attract positive things. When I live in shrinking negative expectation, I attract those things too. So it is demonstrated over and over again. For example, in healthcare situations, doctors repeatedly say that the attitude of the patient is the single largest determinant in their recovery, how fast and how well they recover. It is the same in whatever we create in life. So my ability to recover from a disaster of a hurricane or a flood or a fire is dependent on my attitude. I will recover faster. I will have more good luck and more good fortune, and things will happen better for me if I'm of the, I'm going to fix this, I'm going forward. Right next to the same house that burned down of I'm finished, I'm going to sit in a heap and give up. Now, up here in Canada, in Alberta, this last summer, there was a fire, a wildfire, that went through a beautiful town called Jasper. Now, those of you familiar with that, and there's Banff, B-A-N-F-F, Banff, Alberta, maybe the most beautiful spot on the earth. It rivals anything I've ever seen in Switzerland, but I've never been to Switzerland, just seen pictures. But the ski resorts and the sheer cliffs and the snow and the mountains and stuff are the most beautiful I've ever seen. Jasper is like that. And this summer, a raging wildfire went through and burned down about a third of the town. Fortunately, it wasn't two-thirds or all of it. But a good 35 or so percent of the town was ruined with fire. The opportunity is there, just like in the floods and the hurricanes, to say, we're dead, or to say, I'm going to build with the best I can. I'm going to rebuild. I'm going after it. That spirit of resilience is contagious. It's energizing. And believe it or not, it actually attracts things to you in ways that we can't measure and understand, but has been repeatedly measured and demonstrated. So your choices in adversity have a whole lot to do with taking ownership of your life. Fear is negative. Fierce ownership is more positive. Truth over hiding out and pretending it's not your fault, over victimhood, all those things are so powerful in creating your ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy. Like, that doesn't mean you can't get sad and sit in a corner for a minute or a day. And as long as I do that, I'm living under that vibration, as it were. And the minute I get up and say, damn it, I'm fixing this, I'm rebuilding, I'm going after it, I don't care what's in my way, I'm doing it, good things start happening. That's exactly what happened when I began my own recovery. I'd spent years as an addict, and a whole bunch of other stuff that goes with that. When I slammed my fist figuratively into the table and said, I'm done, threw away all that I had and quit cold turkey and started getting the help I needed and made the firm decision, the one decision that was firm, I had no idea how to do what I was about to try. But when I said, I'm doing it, we're done, everything began to happen. It wasn't easy and there were setbacks, but everything started to happen. Because I said, I'm taking control. Now, there's another piece that I want to talk about, and that is this. Often, and this goes back a little bit to the voting thing that's going on today, we've got the idea, candidates on both sides spend an enormous amount of effort getting everybody out to vote. Go vote, go vote, go vote. And the idea there is that people say, my vote doesn't matter. Well, nonsense. Repeatedly in last elections, we see the margins are really tiny, but there's a phrase that's more important than that, and that is that big doors swing on small hinges. That is a true thing. Tiny decisions often have enormous consequences, and often they're not apparent. You and I, we don't know at the moment the power of those little decisions. And there's no way to know the power of those little decisions. So what's the answer? Always stay positive. Always stay looking for the opportunity. Always assume your vote counts, the decision matters, and that good things are coming. Now, you don't have to do that. You can say, I'm realistic. Bad stuff usually happens to me. And you know what? You're right. Because we attract the energy we put out. Which one of you loves being around a grumpy ass? Nobody. It's negative energy. On the other hand, who likes to be around a positive, uplifting person? It's building things and they're about stuff in the world. Well, we all do. So the answer to big door swing on little hinges is take advantage of every door. That doesn't mean you have to chase down every opportunity. You got to see if it lines up with your purpose, but stay positive. I got a client and one of his favorite phrases is, I chase the maybes. I love that phrase. I chase the maybes. And you don't have to chase them all the way to the end if they don't look like they're not going to pan out. But remain positive just because you can. Not because it's stupid. Nobody's guaranteed success. I don't know. I do a podcast and I don't know how many people are going to hear it or if it's going to be really important or viral. I write another book. I don't know how well that's going to do, but I'm going to write it anyway. Because I believe that it's good. And then I'm going to do what I can with it. But I'm going to ride it. I'm going to chase the maybes. If you want to take control of your life, chase the maybes. Now, I want to give you an invitation right now. We've got about 10 minutes left. A little less. Here's an invitation. I have a website. One of them is yourultimatelife.ca, yourultimatelife.ca. I've got a gift for you there. It's called Five Master Keys to Your Ultimate Life. Five Master Keys to Your Ultimate Life. In there, it's five videos, and it is powerful lessons that I've learned, that I use, that have served me, that have helped me create the purpose, prosperity, and joy that I have. And more importantly, in connection with today's episode, it's helped me make choices and take personal responsibility. I don't blame anybody for anything. I had a bunch of rough stuff happen in my childhood. It shaped me in powerful ways, but I don't blame anybody now. My responsibility is to take what I have and ask, what do I wish to create? So I would invite you to go there, yourultimatelife.ca, and get the things that are there for you. There's one other invitation I want to give you right now, and that is one other website, and it's my name, Kellen Flukiger Media, kellenflukigermedia.com. Take a look at that. You'll see all the books that I've got and stuff that I'm up to, and see if any of those things will help you. I write the books. Do this show, have my own podcast, Your Ultimate Life, appear on conferences everywhere for only one reason, and that's to share your greatness, to share the possibility you have of taking fierce ownership of your life, no matter what happens around you. Election, economic downturn, inflation, recession, or, God forbid, good things. Wow, those don't happen all the time, do they? Except they do if you take control and create your life. So KellenFlukigerMedia.com, go there and see if some of the stuff there, and there's tons of stuff there, will serve you. But only if you're interested in taking control of your life. Now, I want to talk about one more thing, and that is this. you literally create your world through your choices. If we're used to being the victim, then we are used to blaming elections, government, weather, economy, you know, wars on the other side of the world. We're used to blaming others and other things for our state of being. I'm happy or I'm miserable. I feel good or I feel bad because of them. That's victim speak, and it's not true. You get to choose and create your life. You create every thought you have. You create every feeling, and you certainly own every action. And by owning that, you get to literally, and this may be the most important thing I say, you create minute by minute your own life experience. Since that's true, why would you create anything less than an exciting, beautiful, wonderful life? Why would you create less than that? So you can argue with me and you can say, Kellen, you're full of crap. I can't create happiness out of the mess that I'm in. Yes, you can. Not all at once. There's not a magic wand. We didn't get where we are all at once either, right? So by taking one action of fierce ownership, one action of notice and choose, I'm not going to let someone else determine how I feel, speak, or react. You take back your power. So no matter what happens around you, no matter what the economy is or does, no matter who wins or loses the election, no matter what your partner does, business partner or life partner, you choose who you're going to be. I choose honorable, truthful, hardworking, loving. My words of power are love, create, serve. My business booms when I do that. I get clients, I sell books, I get places to speak. I get to talk to you today. And there's nowhere else I'd rather be. So I want to also remind you of one important thing, and that is the ripple effect. My mission is to help 300 million people this year. And my year started October 14th, so 3 weeks ago. My mission is to reach 300 million people, and you're one of them, to help you create your ultimate life, to create wealth and impact by serving and creating income with your life experience and your gifts and your skills. You can do that if you want to. You have to do the work. But I do it. Thousands of people do it. Lots of clients do it. If you want my help, reach out. My mission is to help 300 million people because you have capability to help you understand how you can create your life and to create that ultimate life we keep talking about. You deserve it. Why would you not take it? The only reason is you don't believe you can have it, or you're not willing to do the work. I can't fix the not willing to do the work. I can't fix the not believe. But I'm inviting you with all my love and all my heart to understand your capability. Walk your own road. I've had to walk that road. And here's my final invitation. If there's any way that I can serve you, I can think of three possibilities. One, if you have a story to share about your own resilience or growth, your own path to creating your life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, I'd like to meet you and know you. I'd like to share your story with my audience. I'm excited about some of the folks we've got coming up in the next few months to share their stories about how they've created purpose, prosperity, and joy despite adversities that even shock me. So that's one invitation. The second invitation is if you want help, don't do this alone. You can't go from broken to heroic on the mountaintop by yourself. Nobody can. No athlete, no musician, no performer, no CEO did it alone. You need help, and you can refuse it or you can get it. So that's all I do is serve. If I can help you, your invitation is to reach out so that I can. And the last invitation is don't turn away powerful free tools. I'm offering you some free powerful tools I mentioned a little while ago, and I'm reminding you now. You want to create your purpose, prosperity, and joy? You want to create a business that thrives and is of service and makes an impact in the world? Your starting point is www.yourultimatelife.ca. yourultimatelife.ca. Go there, get the 5 master keys. They're carefully crafted. They're powerful. They work every single time. And yeah, they take work. They don't do the work for you. I am here doing these episodes and inviting you to do what you want and to live into your opportunities. Don't give away your power. Don't give away your choices about how you experience life. Own it. Own it fiercely, joyfully, and move forward with your choices, your bold decisions, and loving yourself and those around you to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.